chapter 16, the 19th verse or the 17th verse, and it is easier for heaven and earth to pass than one tittle of the law to fail. Whosoever putteth away his wife and marrieth another committeth adultery, and whosoever marrieth her that is put away from her husband committeth adultery. And then he gives a parable. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angel into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torment, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil. But now he is coveted, thou art tormented. And besides all this, between us and to you, there's a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from thence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded though one rose from the dead. That's strong, too. You know, when you are made to realize that if one actually resurrected from the dead and testified, that they wouldn't believe him. Whereas like the rich man said, he said, if one should rise from the dead, they would hear him. But isn't it a true fact that Jesus rose from the dead and they did not hear him? And he's alive and he is the resurrection and the life of today and they still don't hear him? But someone would say, but Brother Pike, back in that day, they didn't hear him. But in our day, we would hear him if he should speak to us. But didn't the Bible say, if not the minister speaking, but it's God Almighty speaking from within his temple. Let all the world keep silent, for God is within his temple. And then the Bible said, and they shall all be taught of God. See, do you believe? He said, if they won't believe the prophets, then they won't believe someone, though he rose from the dead. So then we know that we live in the hour of the sinful, adulterous generation. It is something about the human being today and something about the human body today that they are so caught away in the things of this world that their very innermost being is gnawing at them, just constantly gnawing at them day and night as to satisfy their passions. Men and women can't live together as they watch the youth, as the youth in their ugly way of life, becoming adulterers and fornicators and wild beasts and freaks. The married can't even live together for thinking about what they miss as being out there with those that are in passions and changing companions like dogs and like animals. You know, and so then they marry one time and they marry two times and they marry three times and they're constantly marrying over and over. And they're constantly going after their passions and are never satisfied. Always there's something wrong with the wife that they got, or always there's something wrong with the husband they got. And even when they marry and when they get somebody that seemingly they're going to settle down to, they still have eyes that are filled with adultery. They're still running after things and whoring after things in their heart. And the Bible said the women mince with their feet as they go. They've got to have their little high heels and click their feet, you know, and prance about and try to expose part of their body or project their body. And the Bible said that the women try to take the men with their eyes. And he said unto the men, he said, I fed you to the full, and like horses you neigh after your neighbor's wife. He said, won't I visit for this, saith the Lord?
And so then the whole thing is sick. He said the whole body is sick. It's a sad situation. And Micah the prophet said, because you have done these things, then thine iniquities have separated between thee and thy God and held thee back for good things. You know, here in America, this is called the New World. They fled from the old country to establish this as a new country, a new world. They'd never known it before. And they came in among the Indians and they established what they call the New World, which was real allegoric, real outstanding. And here it was to be a land of milk and honey. It was to be a land with plenty to eat, plenty to drink, all the luxuries of life, the luxurious thing, all the comforts and convenience of life, and a place for our children, a place for our wives, companionship, to where that they could enjoy the land and they could enjoy things around them and didn't have to worry about somebody ravishing, somebody killing, somebody doing the horrible, hideous things that we have to worry about now. When the forefathers came over, when they established this, it was a wonderful place. After they kind of settled down with the Indians and everything leveled off, it was such a beautiful world. And over here, it was a place to where daughters and sons could just roam about. And it was just beautiful. America the Beautiful, the woman that stood upon Pike's Peak it was, and looked and surveyed the country with her eyes and wrote, America the Beautiful. See, it was so beautiful. But now what has happened? You can't hardly get out and walk in the daytime, let alone at night. In the city in the daytime, they'll mug you. I've had people that come here and have them to confess that I was caught off in some great city. And they'd say, I mugged people. I slipped up behind them and I popped my hand over their mouth and whatever. And I mugged them and I took their money and got away. And here I am, Brother Pike. You know, and this is the kind of world that we're living in. I've had them to come here and to find out that they were murderers. You know, one of the things of today as to the wearing of the beard, I've said this a number of times, what started the wearing of the beard over here in this country that really got it started was people that was running from the law and trying to stay away from prison, that had killed, that had looted and done all these evil, wretched things and trying to conceal their identity, you know, and then them making a way for youth and enticing youth. Then youth began to roam up and down the streets. And then when that thing of David Wilkerson came in, it just allowed for it to more. They began to flock together in houses in different places, and their prostitution and everything just flared up, you know, and the boys began to grow beards because they thought that was the thing to do because the men were wearing beards. And then after a while, it just got to be a lifestyle. But over here, it had a different meaning. When Joseph came up out of the dungeon, he shaved. He'd done away with his beard. When he came up out of the dungeon, somebody said, well, Brother Pike, do you think that it's wrong to wear beards? I'm not preaching on beards. I'm preaching against sin. And Joseph came up. It's a typical thing. When he came up, he had shaved. He come up out of the dungeon and stood before Pharaoh to sit at his right hand. Because in the time of Esau, he was called a hairy man. And being a hairy man, the Bible said Jacob was called a smooth man. And it was indicating an unsightly thing. To be a hairy man, what did it mean? It indicated the beast, beast or hairy. And that it was the beast. And Jacob being a smooth man indicated an angelic thing of a smooth man where there was no hair as to the beast. But then we made the statement that it would come back to the beast. It would come back to the woolen faces. And it would come back to these kind of things that they would do of the long hair and all of this. Because hair, long hair indicates shame on a man. And sure enough, it's come back to it. And so then we're living in the day of the beast. We're living in the day of the beast. And everything is getting to the place to where people want to be karate experts. They want to wrestle. They want to fight. They want to kill. They want to be rough. They want to be rough and tough, you know. And the women are getting the same way. They want to bob off their hair. And they want to be tough. And they want to dress out like a man. And they want to do the things of the man. And you go along the highway and you see women working out there with hardened men that curse, and their mouth is so filthy it's like a cesspool. And yet the woman is as filthy or worse. I remember in Chicago, when Betty and I went through Chicago, there we had gotten a little apartment. We couldn't afford to go over to the elite side of town, so we just had to get whatever we could. And here in this place that we rented an apartment upstairs, I was in there with my little wife and family, and all of a sudden there come a knock on the door, and somebody tapped on the door. I went to the door to open the door, and there stood a woman. I believe she had a cigarette hanging out of her mouth, and her lips looked like that she had kissed a paint bucket. And when she saw me, she stood there like this, you know, and started making eyes and doing all kind of things, and I just started pulling the door to. And she caught the door, and she wouldn't let the door go too. And she was holding the door, and she meant to come in there, wife or no wife or whatever. And, of course, I just got a little bit rude and said some things to her and just snatched the door out of her hand, slammed the door. But that was the kind of thing that I run into. And I've been walking along the sidewalk. When I've had them to come up to me on the sidewalk and start talking to me on the sidewalk, you know, and it would burn me so bad that I'd start preaching hellfire and brimstone. And it was like it stuck a match to a cat's tail. They were gone just like that. But that's the kind of day that we're living in. You know, it doesn't matter whether you're married. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what age you are. That has nothing to do with it. The thing that they want to do is frolic, have a good time, spend money. And it doesn't matter if they see you today and somebody else tomorrow and somebody else the next day. And the bad part of it is that while the husbands work out on a job, and they're trying to make a living, and they're trying to dress the wife so she will look nice, you know, and provide the things at home, the wife is just riding around just store to store, and the husband ain't got enough good understanding to stop her. She just rides all day long to one store and another store and to visit the neighbors and visit her relatives, and she's going and she's buying and she's talking, and it's just like her tongue is split in the middle, or as they said, cut loose on both sides. And all she knows to do is just run her mouth all day long. She doesn't know anything about virtue because she doesn't even have any constraint of her spirit. She's supposed to be shamefaced, and the men are supposed to be grave to kill this thing that is between male and female, but not so. Not so. You know, in the Old Testament, I was telling you how the veil is there. In the old country, the veil is still there. And I related to you how that even when our soldiers went overseas to fight among the Muslims and those that are supposed to be heathens, that they would not drink their beer and would not drink their whiskey. The Muslims said, we're not going to do that. You know, and said, we're not going to get out there and fight with women. When they took their soldiers, you know, the girl, she joins the army. And she gets in service and she goes off to service, you know. And the men said, we're not going to get out there with that bunch of women to fight. See, they knew that woman needed to be in the kitchen. Like a woman up here in Atlanta, Georgia, caught a man. She was a policeman and caught the man and began to, you know how they do? How was the Bible said, I suffer not the woman to have authority, but here she was. She was, and she got in a dispute with this man, and the woman just frankly told, or the man frankly told her, said, woman, you need to be home in the kitchen, so that's where you need to be. And she didn't like that at all. You know, and the women don't like it even at Bethlehem when I say that. But that is true. I agree with the man. The Bible said, let the woman guide the house. See, but what has she done? You know, we've had to have workers because we're in war, and the man, he goes off to war. And the woman, she's put on a job out there. She's got to work, you know, and she's got to produce all of this ammunition and all this. I remember all this when it started with Roosevelt back yonder. And by the time she gets through, after a day or two, she wouldn't be fit to live with a pig, let alone a human being. You say, oh, you don't know. Oh, yes, I do know, because I've been on the job right there, and I passed by when a man's wife and somebody's husband over here was just as filthy as pigs in their talk, and I wouldn't even stop to listen at them. See, so I know that that's what it is. And so today, we can thank the educational system for turning all of our people into beasts and freaks, even to the point of streaking, as it was over here in Athens not too long ago. And like it was over in Indiana, when I was there in Indiana, I told you how that one morning I came out of my apartment there or the motel, and I stepped out the door and I almost would have fell back into the room Because just as I stepped out the door, here comes someone, I think he had a cup of coffee, and he was walking up in broad daylight, right up the sidewalk and going to his apartment, just as dignified as he could be. And he bidded me good morning, and he went by, and I looked the second time because he didn't have a stitch of clothing. And I thought, my God, my eyes. You know, you think, Lord, is something happening to me? In broad daylight, you know, you think, say, well, I ain't having a vision. I don't know what's wrong with me. But it didn't even faze that man. Somebody else came out about the same time, and they saw it, and they just couldn't hardly believe it. Folks, that's the kind of world that we're living in. Somebody was telling me the other day that they was out in a place, and here come a boy, I guess he was playing cowboy. I don't know what he was doing, but he didn't have on any clothes. All he did was these little chaps that cowboys wear when they're herding cattle. You know, they have a thick chap that they wear on the sides here that when those thorns come across the legs, they don't rip their legs when they're trying to herd cattle. And said that's all the man had on, which means ain't nothing but chaps. There's nothing else. I'd made the statement years ago. I said, when the Lord came in the garden in the evening time, he found them naked. And that was the way that they were. And I said, and when the Lord comes back, he's going to find them that way. And with all of the things that they have, as to the bikinis and everything that they dress out in today, they are nothing but a beast. They don't have the morals of a beast. And this is a sinful, adulterous generation. And as I said, while the man works and while he makes the money out there, the woman, she roams and she does all the things that a prostitute would do. And if that isn't enough, then sissy, she's got to join the army. Somebody told me the other day, I was talking to him over the phone, and was telling me how their daughter went into the army, whereas mine might join the army tomorrow. You don't have to join the army to be in bad shape. They get in bad shape without joining the army. But I thought of all the dirty, filthy, low-down things that there can be as a human being called a woman joining the army. Knowing, having been in the army, and knowing that there's not a more filthy a place in the world than that. But what can we say? Again, the hospitals are filthy. There's nothing barred in the hospitals. Everything goes in the hospital. And so we can be, as I say, we can think the educational system and the military system and the medical world for destroying humanity. For literally destroying humanity with their ethics as to their way of life. Someone would say, well, Brother Pike, I think you're just too hard. Well, all you got to do is go down to the street called Straight, and the Lord will help you, and you'll find out that I haven't really been hard enough. All you got to do is stand before God when he looks at you and says, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you. And the Bible said you'll go away into the flames and there'll be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Somebody would say, but Brother Pike, if God gets rid of people that are guilty of that, then there won't be anybody left. Well, there isn't going to be very many left because he's going to get rid of them. Someone would say, well, now, Brother Pike, you don't expect me to believe that God will actually destroy all the world. He did in the days of Noah. And all that he did was save Noah and his family. Just because Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, symbolic of Jesus, he saved his family. And that's what he's doing today. So then there was Noah, and the rest of them were destroyed. The Bible said Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I change not. Now then, if he doesn't do exactly like he did in the days of Noah, then he isn't the same. And if we find his favor, then we're going to have to do exactly like Noah did as to the time of finding his favor. And to prove that he is the same, it wasn't very long before Sodom and Gomorrah came into view. And he went down there, and Abraham pleading the cause, he finally saved a few people. And then the woman, even the woman on her way out, looking back, he turned her into a pillar of salt and just took Lot and the two daughters out and destroyed all the rest of them, even some of Lot's family. See, he was still the same. And then when they got ready to go into Canaan land, he said, Moses, get out of the way. I'm going to destroy all these people. And Moses said, no, Lord, don't do that. Blot my name out. And he said, Moses, the one that sins, that's the one I'm going to get. and said, if Samuel and the prophet stood before me, said, I still wouldn't listen at him. Said, the man that sins, I'm going to get him. And said, the proverb, as the Old Testament says, the children's teeth are on edges because the parents have eaten sour grapes. He said, that won't be anymore. That proverb won't be anymore. He said, because I'm not going to do it according to that proverb. He said, I'm going to get the boy when he sins, and I'm going to get the daughter when they sin, and I'm going to get the mother when they sin, and I'm going to get the father when they sin, and I'm not going to make anybody bear anybody else's problems and sins, and I'm not going to visit the iniquities of the fathers down upon the children of the third and fourth generation. I'm going to bring a day that they're going to know of me from the least to the greatest, and they all shall be taught of God. For out of the mouth of babes and sucklings I will perfect praise. So then we're living in that time now. See, and what happened when they got ready to go into Canaan? If God isn't the same, what happened? He cut them all up, loose from him. And he swallowed them up with the earth. And he cut them up with the sword and slayed them. As he said, every man, put your sword to your side and smite your fellow. And he took Moses and caught him away into glory. Took Caleb and Joshua and the children that were raised up from the 40 years of wandering, and took a new generation into Canaan. And then warned them as he took them in. And he said, I warn you, if you do like the others, I'm going to do you the same way I've done the others. And sure enough, they did do like the others. And it wasn't long before God took them down into Babylon and had them down there 70 years in Babylon. They came up as to the enemy and they tore down the temple. And they took the sacred things out and took them into Babylon until the time of iniquity was fulfilled as to the Babylonians. And then he brought them back out again. And when he brought them back out again, they built the walls unto the Messiah, to the coming of the Messiah. And when Messiah came, the Jews acted up and they took him to Calvary. And God did them the same way again. He put the Jews out of his presence. And they have never come back into his presence today as to being blinded in part. And then he came over to the Gentiles. And folks, now here we are. And we have it in our minds because he did that to the Jews. And because he did that to the others, he has favored us. And he's come over here to us and he'll never do that to us. But I'm telling you, we are on the verge right now of this great thing happening. A great catastrophe is at hand. A great calamity is about to befall you as the people of the new world. A great thing is about to happen to the Gentiles. And that is, as we said in our full thoughts here, that the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise, and we which are alive and remain shall be changed, caught up to meet him, so that we shall ever be with the Lord. So it's very evident that now here we are with that same Jesus gathered together in his name. Two or three, he's in the midst. And here he is ready to cut the Gentiles off. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, won't he give us a warning? He's sounding the trumpet. He keeps sounding the trumpet and sounding the trumpet long. He keeps sounding the trumpet. I picked up the shofar yesterday that they brought me from Israel. And I sounded it long as I sounded it. And I thought, and the trumpet sounded long. See, and here we are right at the very closing out of the age. Closing out of the age. Right here when the devastation is upon us. And God is going to, just that quick, cut us off. The Bible said in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, before you could even bat your eyes, even tonight sitting here, or those that are listening to me, before you could have a twinkling of an eye, you would be cut off that quick. See, and here we are, down at the end. Is the Lord Jesus going to change? Is he going to be different after all of those many years? Is he going to be different to you as an individual? Is he going to be different to me as an individual? Or is he going to make me walk the same straight line and make you walk the same straight line? Look at Paul. Paul was as religious as he could be. And yet when he went to apply or to utilize that as to the potentials of his life, which he thought was ever so great by self-esteem, the Lord just smote him blind. See, and that's what's happened to the religious world today. God has smitten them blind. They are smitten blind. They don't know where they're going. And the Bible said, if the blind lead the blind, they all fall into the ditch. And the Bible said, the ditch is the great whore. And they that are called to the Lord shall fall therein. And the Bible says that the world is that great whore. The fleshly human beings of this world is that great whore. You know, we think of a male and a female, but to God, all is female. And male and female is just a typical symbolic thing as to replenishing the earth and as to show the spirit in the body. And the whole world is nothing but a harlot. And it's running after the things of Satan. And it's got the love of the world on the inside and vainly puffed up by the old tree of knowledge or the thing called educational diplomacy. And there's only a few that's left. Out of the billions of people in the world today, there's only a few that's going to find this. Even as the brother was telling me tonight, just before I come in, he was telling me about this thing of the translation taking place. And he said, in the vision, if I have this right, he was made to know that the reason these three individuals missed it was because they were overconfident in their own ability and as to their conviction as to making it into glory. See, I say so often to you, because I love you, not because I'm against you, not because I'm trying to hurt you, but I say so often to you, wake up. The Bible said when they awoke, they saw his glory. And I say so often, I say you don't understand because of the way your spirit comes in. I'm not just talking about you people, I'm talking about preachers, of the way the spirits come in. I hardly ever, in my whereabouts, meet a preacher where his spirit comes in right. But occasionally I do meet one. And here at Bethlehem, it's no different. Even these that's coming up under the message, it's no different. They still are self-esteem. They still have a drive to their own ends. And they're still trying to do their own things. And they're still trying to take this message and incorporate it in their life for personal gain and monetary values and the things that they want. In spite of all that I say, in spite of all the warnings, it's like Jesus, he warned them day and night. But the Pharisees remained to be Pharisees, and the scribes remained to do the things that they were doing. The Sadducees remained the same. And Jesus said, hypocrites. And he warned the church of that day, but they remained the same. They said, Moses, we know God spoke to him, but who are you? We don't know that God spoke to you. And see, the old denominational way of life is the same. We know that we have a denominational way of life, and God spoke to our founder and our leader, but who are you? You know, you're talking about a revelation. You're talking about something new. That's like a man that lives close by. I prayed for him. I love the man. I'd do anything I could to help him. But I told some of them, when the man come here, I said, he came here with some others to put me down and to magnify himself as a prophet and to witness against this, and to, if he could not get into it and find the leadership of it, that he would work against it. Well, he seemed like a fine man. He seemed like ever so fine. A nice fella, everything just so. And he has never disclosed what I'm about to say to anybody that I know of until the other day. But I told him how the man wasn't with me and just how bitter he was toward me and whatever. And he just told one of the brothers in the last few days, he said, you know, he said, I hated Brother Pike. Said, I hated him. Said, I confess now that I'm making some change and getting over it. Said, but I hated him. And of course he felt like I hated him too. But I don't. I love him in spite of the fact that he hated me. He didn't have to confess that to me. I knew that. And he tried to cause me trouble, tried to prophesy my death and whatever, years ago or whatever. But you know, that doesn't make any difference to me. Love is not something of a human being where a human being loves them that love him. Love, real love, is of God. And that love went to Calvary. That love loved when the thorns were put upon the brow and the nails put in the hands and the stripes were laid upon the back, when his back was plowed like a field, love emanated from that breast. It just came right on. Why? I can't do anything about it. If you've got God, you can't do anything about it, because God is love, and love is always there. So there's nothing you can do about it. You love your enemies. You do good to them that despitefully use you. You pray for them that persecute you. You still love them. You will rebuke. You will reprove. And that opens sometimes, because you're commanded to do that. And you have to remit sins, and you have to retain sins, and you have to give the warning, and you have to bless, and you have to curse. Because you bear not the sword in vain as to God's executor of judgment and avenger. See, but the thing is, you still love. You still love. I still love them. I love my enemies. I love them that have drugged my name through the mud and called me everything that's so low. Even though the Bible speaks of the baser sort, a low-life people, Paul said, that troubled me. See, but I still love them. I still want to help them. I still would do anything in the world that I know of within the God reason to help them. I have nothing against them. You know, there's a good way in life not to have an enemy, and that is to love your enemies. And if you love your enemies, then you don't have any enemies. See, because if your ways please God, he maketh even thine enemies to be at peace with you. So, I love mine enemies. I have nothing against any living human being in the world, though I've been cut to my heart. I've been slain, and as Paul said, killed all the day long over and over. For the Bible said we are as the body of Jesus Christ, killed all the day long, accounted as sheep to the slaughter. But in all of these things, we're more than conquerors through Christ Jesus, who loved us and gave himself for us. And we don't have anything to fear. If God be for you, who can be against you? So we don't have to worry. The evil one cannot touch us nor come near our dwelling. But in this I do say that we are lacking in the good things of God only because our iniquities have separated between us and our God. And I have tried to explain over and over, so I'm not going to try to explain tonight, of why that your iniquities are still there. And it's up to you to get them out of the way. The Lord has made the availability as to the treasures. He hath given us all things that pertain unto life. And now he says, can you believe? For our words, the writer said, hath gone to the ends of the earth. But who hath believed our report? Can you believe then? He said, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to them that believe. But if you do not believe, then you have an evil heart of unbelief. And God will smite you, for the wrath of God abideth upon him that is an unbelief, because there is no blood atonement for him. So if thou canst believe, do you believe? Do you make an effort to believe? As Oral Roberts said one time in his early ministry, when he was so great and mighty, before he got into this compromising with the world, he said, some folks are just too lazy to believe. He said, they're just too lazy to believe. And he described faith. And he said, faith, someone questioned him as to faith. He said, faith is when you believe that you believe, that you do believe. Said that's faith. All right, let's stand together. Appreciate you tonight. Just a little exhortation. I'm running late, so I'm not holding you long. I said a little bit about Revelation in the last few nights, but I still haven't felt the hunger or anything toward the deep, wonderful things of God. And I felt like tonight that I would not feel it. And all I can say is we appreciate the reverence, the attendance. And I can tell that you do want to hear and you want to know. But as I say, that won't bring the revelational mysteries of God. The Spirit of God searcheth out the things of God. And we come to you with things of God. But then the Bible said it searcheth out the deep things of God. And the Bible said the meat belong to the strong, they who have by reasoning exercise their senses to be able to discern between the good and evil. And they have made efforts to conformity to be like Jesus. I say again, to be like Jesus on earth, I long to be like Jesus. Let's sing that little chorus, can we, Brother Taylor? To be like Jesus, just to be like Jesus, on this earth I long just to be like. All through life's journey, from earth to glory, I only ask just to be like him. Sing that with me. From Bethlehem's manger came forth the stranger, on this earth thy Lord, just to be like him. By grace forgiven and akin to heaven, on earth I long just to be like him. One more time. To be like Jesus, just to be like Jesus, on this earth I long to be like him. All through life's journey, from earth to glory, I only ask just to be like him. All right, as we sing tonight, the altars are open, and you're welcome to come. While we sing, we'll sing together. Sweep over my soul, sweep over my soul, precious Spirit, sweep over my soul. Sing that with me. For my rest, it is complete. While I sit at your feet, oh, sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. For I've anchored my soul in God's haven, doth rest. And I'll sail the wild seas no more. Though the tempest that may sweep out over the wild storm it be, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. I need thee, Lord, I need thee. Every hour I need thee, and I need thee now, precious Savior, and oh, how I need thee. So don't turn him away. Can you sing that with me? So don't turn him away. For he has come back to your heart once again. Just let Jesus sin to stay. For oh,
how you'll need him just to plead your cause on that eternal day. Listen to the Savior and hear his loving voice. Don't turn him away. What can I give him of all he has given? No, what can I give to my Lord? Sing that with me. I don't have riches, a mansion or a palace. Oh, what can I give to the Lord? Earth is his footstool, heaven is his throne, the cattle of a thousand hills my Lord already owns. All that I have, it was his from the start. What can I give to the Lord but my heart? The holy hills of heaven call me to mansions bright across the sea, where loved ones wait and crowns are given, and the hills of all keep calling. This house of clay is but a prison, bars of bone, they hold my soul. But this house of clay, gonna burst wide open when the angels come to set me free. I'll take my flight like the mighty eagle when those hills of home start calling me. I see loved ones over yonder, their tears are gone and hearts are free. And from the throne, my Savior beckons, and the hills of home, they're calling me. This house of clay, it's but a prison, bars they hold my soul. But the house of clay gonna burst wide open when the angels set my spirit free. I'll take my flight like the mighty eagle when the hills of home start calling me. those hills of home start calling me.
Let's sing this little chorus.
Standing somewhere in the shadows, you'll find Jesus. He's the only one,
sing that with me,
who cares and understands. Standing somewhere in the shadows, you will find him, and you'll know him by the nail prints in his hand. So come home, it's supper time. The shadows are lengthening fast. So come home, it's supper time. We're going home at last. When I was but a boy in days of childhood, I used to play till evening shadows come. Then winding down that old familiar pathway, I could hear my mother call at set of sun. Come home, it's supper time. The shadows are lengthening fast. Come home, it's supper time. We're going home at last. In memories now I see her standing yonder, and her familiar voice I hear once more. Or the banquet table is ready up in glory, and it's supper time upon the golden shore. Come home, it's supper time, and it really is. The shadows are lengthening fast. Come home, it's supper time. We're going home at last.
Let's sing this little voice, Brother Taylor.
And he was here all the time. My Lord was here all the time, waiting patiently in line. He was here long.
Can we sing that again?
And he was here all the time.
You know, it's like the songwriter wrote the song, "It Must Have Been Cold, Standing in My Shadow, Waiting for Me." But he said, when I acknowledged him, he was the wind under my wings to lift you up like the great and the mighty eagle. You know, the big eagle, it will spread its wings. When the storm comes, the little birds, they're driven to the ground, and sometimes they're killed. But the big mighty eagle, he spreads his wings And he throws his head up and he glides over the winds and over the storms to rise higher and higher and higher, screaming and going. Can you sing it again? For he was here all the time. Like the song we wrote, I don't know why I was so blind. When we talked it over, I changed my mind. He showed me heartaches, and here's what he said: they that live in pleasure are among the dead. He showed me sorrow and tear-dimmed eyes, and when we talked it over, I changed my mind. You know, I don't know what you are doing in life. I don't know what you've done. But I tell you what, if you ever have a long talk with Jesus, you're going to change your mind. You're going to have a change of heart. And you're going to wish that you had walked with the Lord and that you'd have took His way. Because folks, there's a lot that belongs to us if we'll follow Him. If you will diligently hearken unto me, and if you will do the things that please me, do the things that please God, not to please yourself, but God, even as to the pleasing of others, to help them, to esteem others better than yourself, to look on the things of another, seek the welfare of another. And if you do the things that please me, and if you keep my statutes and my judgments, I will keep you from the plagues of Egypt, and I will not allow these things to come upon you that I brought upon the Egyptians. So then it's going to take a diligence to find out His will and find out His desire and to find out what He wants of how to please Him. And the Bible said, without faith it is impossible to please Him. For they that come to God must believe that He is, or there is a God, and must believe that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. So if you diligently seek the Lord, He will reward you, and He will give you the desires of your heart, to make you rich and add no sorrow, to ride upon the high places of the earth, to make your enemies to be at peace with you, to heal all of your diseases, and to forgive all of your iniquities. While your hands are up, let's just close our eyes and let's sing this little chorus together. I will praise my Lord. I will praise my Lord. Praise. While we're singing this little chorus, I'm going to ask Micah. Reading from the book of Micah tonight, I thought I'd ask Micah to dismiss us tonight. And speaking of the trumpet sounded, he's our trumpet player. Really something happening, folks. The Word and the Spirit agrees. Wash the way. It's getting mighty close. It is supper time. So I will praise.